before we get into it, we are on different sides of the border, and we're on different sides of this Orioles-Jays matchup right now. How do you feel about the come-from-behind win? I know you were apparently on Twitter giving it to Jose Bautista last night. How are you feeling this morning?
I feel pretty good, man.
I bet you
I
do.
I feel a lot better than I would if Kim didn't pinch hit and latch onto that ball and nudge it over the fence. You people really, though, look.
You people.
Oh,
you,
wow.
You can't really defend Bautista. Like, you know on a certain level that he's a clown who brings this on himself, right? And he's out of there now, so you can admit it. Like, they're not bringing him back. I'm surprised his act lasted as long up there as it did. But, like, you can't truly find him endearing on any level.
I would suppose it would be the equivalent of the two candidates you have remaining for president.
There you go. Right. And I'm going to vote for Hillary, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you she's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I'll take her over the lunatic. But, yeah, I mean, that guy, whatever. He brings it upon himself. He is a perfect heel, a perfect villain.
Yep.
And you guys should be happy when he's out of your country.
Is he that despised?
He is.
He is here. In Baltimore, absolutely. He's way up there. He's on a short list with the idiot Ventura, the headhunter from the Royals, Ortiz.
Odor?
I feel like I'm missing somebody. Not here. No, Odor is, like, beloved here.
Oh, because he clocked Bautista.
Joey Bats. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. People are all, no, Odor, he's got a little, like, East Coast fan club here.
Yeah.
I'm missing somebody. Somebody pretty despised. Oh, Mark Teixeira.
I was just thinking that.
Who was raised here, went to high school here, that signed with the Yankees and claimed he was a Yankee fan all his life.
How dare he?
Jerk.
Revisionist history.
Got a ring on his finger, though. Anyway,
I guess he does.
Yeah, we'll take a look at the NFL. Just tonight, Thursday Night Football, we don't need to go in great detail. Bengals are favored by more than a touchdown. And that it just doesn't feel right now for the Bengals to have that kind of an edge, does it?
Yeah, I get the sense that Vegas is trying to, you know, coerce equal money on both sides, which is what they do. I don't think Cincinnati is that good. They have not played that well. They don't traditionally do well on some of these bigger national stages, especially when they're at home, and they are under pressure. That team knows if they go to 1-3. It might not be lights out, but it's starting to get dark. It's getting a little hazy, and they're a little punch drunk, and I have, you know, reservations about that football team. If Miami had a semblance of its offensive line, I think they'd win this game outright. But they've got so many issues going on there. And the Bengals are getting Vontaze Burfict back, who, you know, better stabilize things there because that defense has not looked like it normally does. And the offense hasn't either. So we'll see. Is this a game where Ndamukong Suh, is this a game where that Dolphins defense, which was pretty putrid against the Browns on Sunday, do they bow up a little bit? Do they try to make a statement? Do they say, hey, we're the team, you know, that played pretty well in weeks 1 and 2. That's who we really are. We're not chumps. So we'll see. I think it's a close game, guys. I think it's a close game. I still don't think it's impossible that Miami wins it. But, boy, they I don't see them running the football, you know, considering that Pouncey's still not back and they've got a tackle banged up, they've got a guard banged up. That's a lot.
I know that the math is pretty good for teams that are 3-0 to make the playoffs. I would guess it jumps up significantly at 4-0. Baltimore, somehow a quiet 3-0, they're at home to Oakland. I mean, if they go to 4-0, they have to be taken seriously if not a contender, but at least a contender for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yeah, I mean, especially if you're telling me now, you know, the Raiders are a team that I put in as a wild card. So if they've got a head-to-head win over the Raiders, and they're 4-0, and the other thing about Baltimore is they'd be 4-0, and it's a 4-0 all against the AFC. You know what I mean? It's not like they beat the Saints or some crap NFC team. So these are potentially significant tiebreakers. And Baltimore's schedule is fairly easy here for a while, but in the second half, they get Big Ben twice. You know, they get Cincinnati twice. They get New England. So their schedule's heavily weighted where they had to make hay. They had to start the season 5-2 or something like that if they really were going to end up, you know, getting close to 10 wins or at 10 wins or something like that. The offense has been putrid. There's really no other way to put it. The special teams has been about as good as any in the NFL, and the defense is third in the NFL in yards allowed per play. The defense is legitimate. They haven't played anybody yet, but they finally have a spine. You've got, you know, Timmy Jernigan, who can play inside and outside on the D-line, and Brendan Williams, who's an elite run stuffer, anchoring the D-line. C.J. Mosley, their middle linebacker, is playing out of his mind. And they finally have, for the first time since Ed Reed was in his prime, they have a safety, a true free safety who can ball hawk and keep everybody aligned in Eric Weddle. That's paid significant dividends already. So, you know, Baltimore's going to be in it till the end. They're going to win a lot of the ugly games they lost last year. And we'll see if they can discover a run game along the way. They've got a kid they drafted in the fourth round, Kenneth Dixon, who lit it up in the preseason, who they think is far and away the best back on their roster. He had a knee injury. He's probably a week or two from coming back. If you're a fantasy football person out there and he's available on your waiver wire, I would snatch him up quickly, because he's going to be given an opportunity to be a feature back there, and he just may make the most of it.
Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The matchup that intrigues me a ton is the Cardinals, who have underwhelmed against the Rams, who no one had given a chance to be any good, and yet are somehow 2-1 while having not scored a touchdown in two of their 3 weeks. What do you see happening in this NFC West clash?
You know, the Rams can play some defense, and I have not been impressed with Carson Palmer really since December of last season. So, you know, is he hitting a wall? How significant are some of the issues on their offensive line, their right tackle, DJ Humphreys? I don't know if they're going to be able to get through a whole season with him the way he's playing. They've got some issues there. I'll say this about the Cardinals. I still think they'll win a fair share of games, and I still think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they're the juggernaut that a lot of people thought they were. I don't think they're a team that's going to have, like, easy wins like last year, you know, where they're just on cruise control by halftime and they're beating the brakes off people. They've lost a little bit of that mojo they had at home where, you know, you could have made a case for, you know, a 12-month period of time, their home field advantage was as good as any in the entire league. I mean, I would put it up there with New England and Seattle. That luster's coming off a little bit. So I think they win, but, I mean, that's not a team that I think is the over-under numbers and the margin of victory and some of that stuff, I don't think it's what we're going to be accustomed to from Bruce Arians-led offenses.
Can the Vikings defense do it again? The offense has been okay, and I just watch Eli Manning get picked off in the final play against Washington last week, and I think, man, what are you going to do against Minnesota?
I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. I think this will be a little bit of a different test for Minnesota than what they've had to this point, because I don't think the Giants are really going to try to run the ball that much. You know, I mean, they're kind of down to the third and fourth back. That Orleans Darko was kind of intriguing to me. But, I mean, losing Vereen like they did, I just think they're going to say, you know what, we're going to live and die with Eli and Odell Beckham. We're really going to test their linebackers in coverage, and you know, we're going to fight fire with fire. And if we can score early, Minnesota, are they really built to come back, you know? And it could go that way. Minnesota can't run the ball either. I mean, they're averaging like 2.5 a carry as a team. So, you know, as much as both those teams have improved defenses, I just kind of wonder what kind of shape that game takes, especially if the Giants are able to get a few deep passes early. But we'll find out some more about Sam Bradford. I'm not sold on the Vikings offensive line at all. I don't know that they have a left tackle on their roster right now. So, you know, is that something like guys like Olivier Vernon can exploit, you know, in a dome on a fast track? It'll be interesting. I kind of like the Giants here. I kind of just have a feeling that, you know, last week was weird for them. You had all the Odell, Josh Norman stuff. You had so many subplots. You know, you had Beckham kind of break down again. I feel like he's out to show everybody on a national stage, you know, hey, you know, this is why they put up with my tantrums, because I'm going to, you know what I mean, watch me go against this great defense and light them up. So we'll see. But to your point, if they're throwing that much and it's Eli throwing the ball, he could have a Fitzpatrick game. He could throw five picks and nobody would be absolutely stunned either.
London, another early game. The Jaguars are back there. This is a good place for coaches and executives to get fired. Do you see that happening this weekend?
It has been. Yeah, Dennis Allen, Joe Philbin. I don't think so here. I don't think that's what Shad Khan is inclined to do. I don't think Gus Bradley will be back next year, and maybe they make a move in December. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would good. That when you make that move, no matter who you think you may have on your coaching staff who might be okay, you are waving the white flag on your season, and you are basically saying all of our preparation was a wash. For the we wasted an entire off season, and we're, our thoughts and schemes and ideas and messages are so woefully terrible that we're going to just blow it up, a month in. Now, Stephen Ross in Miami, absolutely. He should have fired his coach the year before, and he knew it, and he wouldn't listen to everybody who said, why don't you hire a new coach now? Mark Davis, sure. Yeah. I don't think that's Shad Khan. And I also don't think he's ready to admit defeat in such a horrible division, to where even if they are 0-4, if they're there 2 weeks from now at 2-4, they might only be a game out of first. So I don't see it, but is the end near for Gus Bradley one way or the other if they lose this game? Yeah, because I don't see them, even in that division, getting back from 0-4 to the point that they're a playoff contender. And, at some point, you could have you could love your roster to death and you could have the best analytics in the world and you could be, so sold that you're just on the come. But, at some point you got to win, 8 games, At some point you got to flirt with 500. At least to get people to continue to buy tickets for that product.
London in 5 years. What does the relationship look like with the NFL?
In 5 years, I think that's when it gets interesting, because 5 years from now, you're talking about the TV deals being up. You're talking about the labor deals being renegotiated, and that would be the natural time to go and take your 30th, 31st, 32nd most lucrative market and turn it into potentially your first, second, or third. So, now that L.A. has more or less been settled and the Raiders situation will be worked out in the next 18 months, I would imagine. Yeah, I think, 5 years from now, London is very much a front burner issue. By that point, I wouldn't be surprised if the league's playing 6 games over there a year and having one team play over there for more than 1 week in a row and have multiple back-to-back home games there. I mean, that's sort of the trajectory to get to the point where they really feel that market's fertile enough to go ahead and have a team there, playing 8 regular seasons and at games and potentially 2 preseason games or whatever they do to the preseason. So, trust me, it's something that Goodell feels very strongly about. And if he goes down, he won't go down without a fight in trying to get a franchise there.
Divisional game between Carolina and Atlanta. Last year, the Panthers cruised through the regular season. There's already concern at 1-2. If they lose this, then where is it panic? Where's the panic level at for the Panthers?
I go on radio there every week. I talk to a lot of people down there. If you're talking panic level for the fan base and what people are thinking down there, I would say it's like Spinal Tap, right? At that point, it's going up to 11. In terms of the organization and Cam Newton and those people, I don't think they'll be all that rattled. Ron Rivera's been through a lot of this before. He was supposed to have been fired multiple times in the past, and the team rallied. That's another one where I left. You know what I mean? You could tell me Atlanta's going to go and win 4 or 5 in a row. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That New Orleans isn't already cooked. Tampa, I think they could be a playoff team, but, they don't look like one right now. So you have to look at it through that microscope, because that's all that matters. As long as they're better than Atlanta, Tampa, and New Orleans, they're hosting a playoff game. And if it's Cam Newton, and if that defense gets a little better through the season, and they're at home in the playoffs, and it's whoever's going there, Arizona or whoever, who do you think we're going to like in that matchup? So I think they have a built-in cushion because of who they really need to win in the race. They don't need to beat Seattle and Arizona and Green Bay and whatever, Dallas and whoever. They just need to beat the 3 teams in their division. And as rough as it's been for them, and I don't like their offensive or defensive line right now, and that's supposed to be the strength of any good team, I still think they can be better than those other 3 teams.
Jason, man, always good to catch up. Go Blue Jays, and we'll catch up next week.
Ooh.
Sounds good. Go Joey Bats. Keep doing moronic things. Thank you.
Darren O'Day, jerk.
Take it easy, guys.
See ya.